May be seated. On behalf of the family, I would like to welcome you to the service this afternoon. It is a service of thanksgiving for the life of Mrs. Eileen Ward, who passed away on Friday, the 13th of January, at the grand age of 100. Mrs. Ward was a quiet lady, and I'm told by Elizabeth and Robin that she was able to speak very loudly, even if it was not with her words, but simply with a mother's look. But she was a quiet lady, and as a result, she was someone who was very content to be in the background. I'm told that whenever it came to her 90th birthday, she didn't want any fuss at all. Yet even though fuss was made, I'm told that she enjoyed it all the same. But while Mrs. Ward was happy to be in the background, she was a very loving lady, very generous in her hospitality, and very generous and abundant in her love for her family and for her friends. Mrs. Ward was a goer. I'm told that she loved her walking, and even Mr. Kenny would be able to recall a story of how he went to visit her in her early 90s, and to his surprise, he did not find her at her home, but half a mile down the country road, walking away. Without doubt, Mrs. Ward was a goer. See, not merely by her fitness up until her mid-90s, but even whenever she broke her hip. And even though she got infection after infection her later life, she always fought it, and she always pulled through again and again. Even if her doctors would have given her little hope of recovery, without doubt, Mrs. Ward was a goer. Mrs. Ward was much loved by her family and friends, and as a result, the family would like me to thank each of you for your support, and even for the prayers and the care that you've shown, even for the family, prayerfully and practically, over the past number of days. And I would like to take this opportunity to express my own sympathies and those of the congregation and church family here at Dromore. You are being prayed for, and may you know the nearness and the grace of the Lord, not only today, but in the days to come. May I at this stage just announce that once the service is over, there will be a committal at Dromore Cathedral, and for those who wish to attend that, they please just leave immediately after the service. But I do want to say on behalf of the family that all are welcome to come back to the church here and to spend time with the family over some refreshments which will be served here in the church. If you could turn, please, with me in your order of service to the opening psalm, psalm number 23. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. And we'll stand to sing this psalm, one that was greatly loved by our sister, Mrs. Ward. And we'll stand to sing after the musical introduction. And once we have finished singing, I'm going to invite the Reverend Ian Kenny, who was the minister of Mrs. Ward for many years, to come to open in prayer and to make a few comments before reading the scriptures. But we'll stand to sing after the musical introduction, please.
Amen. us unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us seek God's face just now. Our eternal God and our loving Heavenly Father, we do praise Thee that we can enter into Thy presence in the Saviour's precious name. And we rejoice that as we seek Thy face, Thou art the one who is sovereign. We believe that Thou art sovereign in all the affairs of life. Thou art sovereign even in the affairs of death. And therefore, as we come together to this service of thanksgiving, we want to submit and we want to bow to Thy sovereignty. And we say, the Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And our Father, as we come to Thee, it is our earnest desire that we would know Thy presence with us here. We need Thee to come, O God, even in answer to prayer, to visit us and to give that needed help. We thank Thee for the promise of Thy word. Fear Thou not, for I am with Thee. Be not dismayed, for I am Thy God. I will strengthen Thee, yea, I will help Thee. Yea, I will uphold Thee with the right hand of My righteousness. And Lord, as Thou hast been that help even to the family circle already, we pray that Thou wouldst continue even now to give that needed strength, and Lord, to uphold each one with the right hand of Thy righteousness. Give grace, O God, that they may cast their cares upon the one who cares for them. And we come, our Father, to commit the family circle to Thee, to those today who feel that loss most keenly. And we would pray for Robin. We remember Elizabeth. We pray for Christine and for Neil, for the grandchildren and for the great-grandchildren, and each extended member of the family. Lord, put Thy loving arms around them, we pray, and grant that they would know the comfort of God the Holy Spirit and the great consolation of the gospel of Christ. We do thank Thee, our Father, that even while we sorrow, yet we sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. And we pray, our Father, that Thy word, the gospel of redeeming grace, might be the means, our Father, of giving that comfort to hearts today, and that each one would have that grace to look by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and to prove the sufficiency of that grace. We do thank Thee for every remembrance of Mrs. Ward. We do thank Thee, our Father, for the long life that Thou didst give to her. We do thank Thee, our Father, even for her character and for her personality. We praise Thee, our Father, for being with her and granting her good health, and even our Father for those 100 years. And we praise Thee, O God, for that moment in her life's experience when she trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and she came as a sinner to the Saviour. And therefore today, O God, we have that great hope that lies before us. And we rejoice that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have that building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So, Father, come, we pray, draw near to each one. Give help to each one that would take part in this service here today. And as the word of God would be preached, we pray that the entrance of Thy word would even give light the hearts that have gathered, and if there be any who are outside of the Saviour, that even today they would be brought savingly to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of others, O God, even within the family circle, who through circumstances are unable to meet with us today, and we ask, our Father, that Thy presence would indeed be with them, and Thou wouldst grant to them that comfort of the Lord. We think especially of Mr. Dunn, even there in the hospital. Draw near to him, O God, Give help to him this day, and grant that thou wouldst raise him up to that good measure of health and strength. So, Lord, abide with us and hear and answer our prayer, for we offer it in the Saviour's most worthy and precious name. Amen. I'm glad today of the opportunity to be able to take part in Mrs. Ward's funeral service. We would say a word of thanks to the Reverend Foster and also to the family. And on behalf of my wife and I would like to offer a sincere word of sympathy to the family circle, and we do assure each one of you of our Christian love and of our prayers at this time. We do have happy memories of Mrs. Ward. We have happy memories of her here in the church, just sitting in the center section here down at the back. And while she was able, she attended God's House here and sat under the sound of the gospel. We have happy memories of her at home. Many times we were able to visit with her there on the Macrobeg Road at the home place, and we were able to open up the scriptures to read with her and to pray with her, and she always appreciated the time that was spent with her. Latterly, of course, she was in Mount Vale Nursing Home, and it was a great joy to join with the family on her 100th birthday and to be able to mark and to celebrate that great milestone. And so it is an honour to take part in her funeral service here today, and thank God we are not without hope, but we have that blessed hope of the gospel, and we have that great comfort of the Lord, and our prayers are with you each one as a family today. I'd like to read the 23rd Psalm. In the 23rd Psalm we were singing by way of praise at the opening of the service, and I understand that this was Mrs. Ward's favourite psalm. Very familiar words to us, the Psalm of David, the shepherd's psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And we know that the Lord will add his own blessing to this public reading from his own precious and infallible word. Thank you.
I would like to thank Reverend Kenny for his participation in the service this afternoon. At this stage, I'm going to ask Robin to come and to give a tribute at this stage, please.
I'd just like to thank everyone for coming here to Mommy's funeral service today. Mommy grew up in Tuck Blaine near Hillsborough, the eldest daughter of the late Robert and Emily Smith. 5 years later, her sister Evelyn was born. She attended St. John's Primary School. After further education, she went to work in Belfast, putting prints into linen. Then, during the war, she was moved to Loncash to pack parachutes for the Army. After the war, she married John Ward and returned to working in Belfast as before. A few years later, Elizabeth was born, followed by myself. She stayed at home to be a full-time mommy. She was a true homemaker. She was always caring and thoughtful to her neighbours and family. In 1986, she was devastated with the death of her husband, John. A number of years later, her nephew, Dennis, and his late wife, Marion, organised a holiday to Austria and took Mommy and Aunt Alvin with them. Mommy needed a bit of persuasion, but Dennis never took no for an answer. This holiday was followed by holidays to Switzerland and Italy. After Daddy's death, Mommy continued to go to her caravan in Newcastle. She spent many happy times with her friends up there, including the McGahan family, who were very good to her. Over the past few years, Mommy has been in Mountfield Nursing Home, to whom we would like to record our thanks. The care and love that she received was just amazing. She was affectionately known as Wee Eileen. I would just like to finish by saying a word of thanks for some people. To the Reverend Foster and the Reverend Carolyn for visiting Mommy and all their support to us as a family. To Robert Brady and his sons for their help in organising Mommy's funeral. To those who helped so willingly at our home over the past few days, making and serving tea, and those who brought stew and soup is very much appreciated. To those who rang and sent cards, and finally to the ladies of the church providing the tea for everyone after the funeral, my heartfelt thanks.
I'd like to thank Robin very much for giving that word of tribute, and may the Lord continue to give much grace in the remainder of today and also in the days ahead. I want to read just one verse of Scripture. Reverend Kenny has already read from Psalm 23, and I want to read just one verse again, and it is the opening verse. And there, David, the author of the Psalm, he declared, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And let's just bow in a brief word of prayer and ask the Lord will speak to us now through his precious word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the memory of the just. It is blessed. We thank you, Father, for the love that has been shown to Elizabeth and to Robin and to Christine and to Neil and to each of the grandchildren and even the great-grandchildren. Father, for the love that has been shown to all the friends and other extended family over the years. Father, many blessed memories, and for that we thank you. Father, do continue to draw near. And as we look at thy precious word now, may it thrill our souls as we see Jesus Christ, the shepherd of all that will come and put their trust in him. Lord, comfort the family as they will see, each one that's saved, the comfort that they have, that Christ is their shepherd today and in the days to come. And Father, for any in this gathering today that are still outside of grace, still lost in their sin, show them the shepherd to whom they can come. That same shepherd that Mrs. Ward put her trust in all those years ago. In Jesus' name we ask for your blessing. And Father, I ask for your help. Fill me afresh the Holy Spirit of God, I pray. Amen. Amen. With only being the minister here in Dromore for just over 3.5 years, I unfortunately did not get to know Mrs. Ward very well, in the sense that her communication was limited. However, I did enjoy every single time that I got to visit her, and I very much enjoyed listening to the many stories told about her by her family and even friends in the congregation here. Just yesterday at the home, there was a story told of what would occur in the home every now and again. Mrs. Ward loved the children's chorus, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And while there would be different occasions, whenever Mrs. Ward had to be moved, and just due to the frailness of the body, she would have become unsettled. And yet those in the home, knowing that Mrs. Ward loved this chorus, would have sang it to her. And upon hearing that story, it thrilled my heart. There is a lady who loves the Lord, but due to circumstances, she is limited in her communication. Be it because of her testimony, because of the love that she had for her Savior, she was still being a witness. An encouragement to those in the nursing staff that were saved, but also a witness to those who were not saved. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Knowing that this Psalm 23 was a favorite of Mrs. Ward's, and praying about what the Lord would have me to speak upon, it is my desire just to speak upon the first verse of the psalm. It is a testimony psalm, the testimony of David himself, the king, many years ago, but also the testimony of Mrs. Ward. Because the verse 1 does not say the Lord is the shepherd, the shepherd of all that trust in him. That's a factual statement. No, it's a subjective statement. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And as we look at this testimony this afternoon, I want to ask you a very simple question. Can you say that the Lord is your shepherd? Can you say the words of verse 1 from the sincerity of your heart, the Lord is my shepherd? Not just the shepherd, but the Lord is my shepherd. You may ask the question, well, what does that entail? What does it entail to be able to say the Lord is my shepherd? Well, let us note a number of things for the remainder of the service here. To be able to say the Lord is my shepherd, you have to be able to say that the Lord Jesus Christ has seen you. The Lord Jesus Christ has seen you. Imagine today you decided you're going to go into the shepherding business. What is the first thing you need to do? Well, you need to find some sheep that need you to be their shepherd. Mrs. Ward was able to testify that Jesus Christ had seen her and had seen her in her need. Sheep are renowned for many things. One of the most prominent is their foolishness. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, we read, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way." Sheep are well known for wandering. They may be placed in a good field. They may have much pasture. But if they see a hedge, well, they often will like to go through the hedge. Even if there's nothing good on the other side, even if there's danger on the other side, sheep are very good at wandering, leaving a place that is good and getting lost. They're renowned for their foolishness. Mrs. Ward, whenever she came to know the Lord and called upon him to save her, she was able to say that Jesus Christ had seen me. That he had seen her in her foolishness. The times where she knew what was right and yet she still did what was wrong. I wonder, can you say the same? Are you willing to confess your foolishness before God? That you are like those sheep that have gone astray. You have turned yourself to your own way. Mrs. Ward was able to testify not merely has Christ seen her in her foolishness, but also Christ had seen her in her weakness. Sheep have many lacks. For example, sheep are in need of defense. Sheep aren't like the largeness of an elephant. Sheep have no claws like a bear. They have no massive sharp teeth like a lion. And they've got no great strength like a bull. They need someone to defend them. Sheep also are in need of direction. Sheep need good grass if they are to be nourished. And they need nice, safe water from which to drink if they are to be refreshed. But sheep do not have an inbuilt sat-nav to tell them where the good pasture is and where the safe water is. There are some animals that do have an inbuilt sat-nav. I'm told that there's little tiny alpine Swiss. They can fly for 200 days without stopping from Switzerland to Western Africa. They know exactly where they're going. They have that inbuilt sat-nav. They know where the good places are. But sheep do not. Sheep need direction. Sheep also are in need of someone to care for them. While there are some animals that are very good at caring for themselves, whenever those animals become sick and wounded, for example, I'm told that birds, bees, lizards, elephants, and chimpanzees are very good at knowing what things to eat when they're unwell, knowing what things to eat to prevent disease or to kill parasites, to kill bacteria or viruses that have gotten into their system. But sheep are not good at self-medicating. The sheep gets sick, wounded, or develops a disease, it needs someone to come along and care for it. It needs a shepherd. I wonder, you one that's able to say, Jesus Christ has seen me. I've seen myself as one who's foolish. I've rebelled against the one who made me. I've used the mouth that he's given me to tell lies instead of telling truth and to praise myself instead of praising him. I've used my heart to love myself instead of loving him. I've been rebellious. I've been foolish. Are you able to say today that Jesus Christ has seen you not only in your foolishness but in your weakness? That you are one that needs someone to come along and to be your shepherd. Someone to defend you. Someone to protect you. Someone to direct you in the way that's right. And someone to care for you throughout life. I am told that one of the most prominent characteristics about Mrs. Ward was her independence. She traveled to her caravan even into her early 90s. She lived in her own home into her early 90s. And even whenever she had to go into the nursing home, she didn't like people doing things for her that she felt that she could do for herself. She was independent. But whenever it came to the spiritual realm, she realized that she could not be independent. She needed someone to be her shepherd. Are you one who realizes today that you are in need? You need someone to come along and to forgive you for your sinfulness. You need someone to come along and to protect you from hell itself and to rescue you from it because of the sin that you and I have committed. Are you one who realizes you need someone to come along and to be a doctor to you to change that disease that's in your life, that disease known as sin? To give you a new heart, to turn you away from sin onto himself. You realize that you cannot do these things yourselves. You need someone who sees you. And someone who will come along to you. Mrs. Ward was able to testify and say that the Lord was her shepherd. Her shepherd had seen her. And her shepherd wanted her. And the good news today is that if you are lost in your sin, Jesus Christ, he wants you. And he wants to be your shepherd. That's why he says, come unto me, all ye that are weary, heavy laden and weary, and I will give you rest. That's why he says in Isaiah 45, look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be ye seen. I am God, and there is none else. Mrs. Ward was able to testify the Lord had seen her in her weakness, in her foolishness, but also in her stubbornness. Like any animal that lives in the wild, sheep will get dirty and sheep need to be cleaned. However, I am told by reliable sources of those who look after sheep that if you went to wash a sheep, to clean it up, often the sheep will struggle. The sheep will kick its legs and throw its neck all about. The only way someone can wash a sheep is if they swipe the feet from under the sheep. Then the sheep will submit to the wash. Mrs. Ward was one who came to know the Lord later on in life. And I have no doubt that there were occasions before that she heard the gospel. She heard of her need to be saved. But like all of us, we like to kick against the pricks. We like to try and think, well, I know what I need to do, but I'll just try and do it my own way and go my own way and do my own thing. But if you and I are ever to be saved, ever to be forgiven, ever become one of God's sheep, we need to submit all we have to him. And stop kicking and stop running. Acknowledge that we need the Lord. I wonder, can you testify that you have come to that point? Can you testify that there's been a point in your life when you have called upon the Lord to be your shepherd and to save you in spite of your weakness, in spite of your foolishness, in spite of your stubbornness? Lord, save me. Forgive me, rescue me from the punishment of my sin. Rescue me from the disease of my sin. And give me a new heart. Can you say, like Mrs. Ward was able to say, the Lord is my shepherd? Mrs. Ward was able to say that Christ was her shepherd because Christ had seen her in her need. But she was also able to say something else. She was able to say, secondly, not merely has Christ seen me, but Christ has bought me. Christ has bought me. Mrs. Ward knew all about paying for things. I'm told that she was the one who held the purse strings in the home and was wise in the way in which she did so. But before a sheep can be owned by somebody, the sheep needs to be bought. A price needs to be paid for that sheep. Before you and I can become Christ's sheep, there needs to be a price paid. Some of you may not be aware, but while Psalm 23 is known as the Shepherd's Psalm, yet the Psalm before it and the Psalm after are also Shepherd's Psalms. You see, in Psalm 22, we read of the one who is the good shepherd who dies for the sheep. And then it's in Psalm 23, we read of the one who has been raised from the dead and who lives to care for the sheep. And then in Psalm 24, we read of the one who is the shepherd who will come again one day for the sheep and take them to glory. Three shepherd psalms. But it is Psalm 22 that tells us of the price that the shepherd had to pay for Mrs. Ward. And the price that had to be paid if you and I were ever to be saved. What was that price? Well, if you have a copy of God's Word with you, you look at Psalm 22. On the verse 1, Jesus Christ, the good shepherd who gave his life for his sheep on that cross, he said the words of verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? David knew that he was ever to become one of the Lord's sheep. A price had to be paid. And that price was God the Son himself being forsaken, abandoned by the Father as Christ paid the debt for David's sins. A price had to be paid. You may ask the question, well, how great is that price? Is that something that really should be of relevance to me? Let me try and explain it to you. Reverend Wesley Graham was a missionary underneath our denomination. He has since passed and gone to the Lord in glory and is there with Mrs. Ward rejoicing in the Lord. But having a conversation a number of years ago with Reverend Wesley Graham, he had been given a little cassette tape that he listened to. And in the cassette tape, the title was, What Did the Trinity Do in Eternity? What did God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit do in eternity? And the person who was preaching explained that in eternity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they had perfect fellowship one with another. They loved one another. God is love. Even before he created this world, he loved. But who did he love? Well, God the Father loved the Son, and God the Son loved the Father, and both loved God the Holy Spirit, and God the Holy Spirit loved the Father and the Son. There was perfect fellowship and perfect love from all eternity. There was perfect delight one in another, the three persons of the one single Godhead. And while God was perfectly content and satisfied in this eternal fellowship, God decided to make this earth and to place mankind on this earth. You may ask, well, why? Why do that? If God is content and of himself, why create mankind? And the answer is simple. So that we would have fellowship with the Trinity. Not that we would ever become God, we cannot, but that we would fellowship with God. And that's why whenever God made the Garden of Eden, that God was the one who walked in the cool of the day with Adam and with Eve. God delighted in Adam and Eve, and they delighted back in God. God loved them, and they loved God back. But the problem was that sin entered into the world. Adam and Eve chose to rebel against God, to delight in themselves, to love themselves more than they loved God. And as a result, there was a separation. There was a distance placed between God and Adam and Eve. Now, God could have just left Adam and Eve and mankind in that sinfulness on their way to hell to pay the debt for their sin, but God did something. See, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, there was an agreement made. A willing, voluntary agreement that God the Son would come down to this earth take upon himself that human nature, and he would live the perfect life that Adam and Eve never lived. And he would go to that cross. And he would take upon himself the sin of men and women and young people. And there on that cross, the abandonment, the forsaking that you and I deserve, God the Son would go through that. And I want you just to imagine this. The Son who had enjoyed eternal, infinite fellowship with the Father and with the Holy Spirit is willing to be forsaken and abandoned so that you and I can be saved. This perfect delight, this perfect joy, this infinite wonder, God the Son was willing to be abandoned, to be forsaken on that cross. He took upon himself our sins so that you and I don't have to be forsaken any longer, don't have to be abandoned any longer. We can be brought into the fellowship of God again. Not just in time, God entering into relationship with us, but then leading on throughout life and leading then to glory itself, where there's perfect communion, perfect fellowship with God. We delighting in Him, He delighting in us. Now waiting for that new heaven and earth where God will dwell with men and men with God. Mrs. Ward was able to testify, not merely has the Lord seen me in my foolishness and my stubbornness and my rebellion and my wickedness and my weakness and my need of a shepherd, but Jesus Christ has bought me. Jesus Christ came to this earth and paid that debt that was necessary with his precious shed blood so that I could be brought into fellowship with God again. And I could spend eternal glory with God. Psalm 22 speaks of the pain in which Christ would go through and the lowliness in which Christ would have to undertake. He would have to become as a worm. All so that he could suffer in our place at Calvary. Can I ask you today, do you see that Jesus Christ not merely sees you in your need, but he has bought us with his blood? All that's necessary has been bought. You may say, well, how can I be brought into fellowship with God? How can I be saved? How can I be forgiven? What do I have to do? What do I have to pay? Nothing. Christ has done it all. He cried on the cross and said, it's finished. The debt's paid. Call out to me in your need. Ask me to save you, and I will save you. And I will forgive you. And I'll bring you into your relationship with my Father, with me, and with the Holy Spirit. I will save you. Because of the debt that I paid and the price that I paid. Mrs. Ward was able to testify like David, the Lord is my shepherd. He saw me and he bought me. And you say the same today. That Christ's price has been applied to your life and that you've been saved because of the blood that was shed. Now, there is a third characteristic of one who has the Lord as their shepherd. Christ has seen me, Christ has bought me, but also Christ has marked me. Whenever a farmer buys a sheep, they put a mark upon them. Here in Northern Ireland, quite often it's just a colour, sprayed, whether blue or red or orange, whatever it may be. But in the Old Testament times, I'm told they didn't spray a colour. Instead, they put a different type of mark upon the sheep that they owned. The shepherd would take each sheep that he purchased and taking a sharp razor would make a unique mark in the ear. This was a painful mark for the sheep, but it was a clear mark. Anybody looking at that sheep would know exactly who the sheep belonged to. Not only was it a painful mark, but it was a permanent mark. Unlike a bit of paint that can be shaven off, this mark in the ear would never be removed. Whenever Jesus Christ purchases somebody, whenever Jesus Christ saves somebody, Jesus Christ marks that person. You say, well, marks them in what way? Doesn't come with a knife and put a mark in my ear. How does Christ mark somebody? Well, the mark that Christ makes is a painful one. Because the Lord entering into a person's life and saving them, he calls them to repent from their sins. And to mortify the deeds of the body, to turn away from sin and to turn on to the Lord. The Apostle Paul, whenever he spoke about that, he said, I die daily. Death is not a pleasant thing. But Paul said, spiritually speaking, he had to die daily. He had to keep dying to his sinfulness. It was difficult to turn from sin. Difficult to die to self. Difficult to stop loving self. Difficult to stop putting your trust in self. Difficult to stop putting yourself first. But all those that are truly saved have this mark upon them, that they are those that are turning from their sin. They're not perfect, but they're turning from their sin. The mark is painful, but the mark is clear. It's not merely do they turn from their sin, but they turn on to the Lord. It's His mark, not anybody's mark, but it's His mark. Speaking with those who were with Mrs. Ward at that time in her life, and if she called upon the Lord, they were able to tell me the difference that was made in Mrs. Ward's life. Why she was willing for the Word of God to be read to her, willing for prayer to be made. Whenever she came to know the Lord, there was a unique difference and a marked difference, because now she loved to hear the Word of God, and now she loved prayer with God, and now she loved talking about the things of God. There was a change, man. Let me ask you this afternoon, are you one who can truthfully say the Lord is my shepherd? Oh yes, He's seen me, yes, He's bought me, but He's changed me, He's marked me. And I'm turning from my sin, and I'm seeking to love Him with all that I have. I'm not perfect, but as 1 John 4:19 says, I love Him because He first loved me. And I'm hungering and I'm thirsting after that which is right, to love Him more. I'm not putting my dependence upon myself. No, I put my dependence upon Him. I need strength and He will be my strength. I need guidance, He will be my guidance. I need help, He will be my help. I need Him. Just like the mark in the sheep's ear, the mark of God's work in a person's life is permanent. In times, perhaps, when it's stronger than others, but it's permanent. It's always there. I wonder, do you have that mark in your heart today? The Lord has loved me. He has seen me and my foolishness and stubbornness, but He's bought me. And He's entered into my life by the Spirit of God, and He's marked me and He's changed me. So much more could be said regarding this psalm, but let me just finish with one final point that I trust will be a word of comfort even to the family here today, those that have the Lord as their shepherd. You see, a shepherd is not merely one who sees you and buys you and changes you and marks you, but He's the one who supplies you. You see, the psalmist is able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not be in want. I shall not lack. I shall have everything that I need. Everything that I need. The psalmist goes on to talk about how the Lord is the one who meets our needs. He meets our needs physically. He meets our needs spiritually. He will give us those green pastures that will nourish our souls, and the still waters that will refresh our souls. He'll restore us whenever we backslide and draw us back onto Himself. He'll direct us in the paths that are right. He'll protect us against our enemies. He'll anoint us and give us peace. He'll always have goodness and mercy in every aspect of life following us and surrounding us until He takes us to glory in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord is everything to you that you need. So if you're here today and you're saved, you take this comfort, the Lord is your shepherd and you shall not be in want. It's interesting that the term that David used in verse 1 is the name Jehovah. The Lord Jehovah is my shepherd. He could have said, God is my shepherd. He could have said, the Messiah is my shepherd. He didn't. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. The name Jehovah has just three letters in it. J in the Hebrew, or the Yod, it represents time to come, the future. The H or the He represents time present. And the V or the Vav in Hebrew represents the time past. The name Jehovah literally means the one who will be, the one who is, and the one who was, the one who never changed. If you're saved, you know the Lord has always been to you what you need. You can be assured the Lord will ever continue to be what you need. He is your shepherd. But as I asked at the very beginning, can you say today, the Lord is my shepherd? The Lord has seen me in my stubbornness and my sinfulness and my wickedness and my foolishness. But in love for me, I know he's bought me. I know he paid the price for me once and all at Calvary. And calling upon him to save me, I know he's marked me. I know he's changed me. I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be. I'm hating my sin, turning from it, and ever seeking to love him with all that I have. If you can say that the Lord is your shepherd, then verse 6 belongs to you. You will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's where Mrs. Ward is today. In the house of the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord. Is Christ your shepherd? If you called upon him to save you, if not, you can call upon him now. Just where you're sitting and ask him to save you. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to rescue you from the punishment and the bondage of your sin and to change. Christ can be your shepherd. Mrs. Ward loved that song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, for the Bible tells me so. The Lord bless his word to every one of our hearts. We're going to sing the final hymn in the order of service. And after singing this hymn, could I ask you to please remain standing for prayer? And then, once the prayer is finished, could you please continue to remain standing, even as the coffin will be carried out to the committal service, followed by the family. Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. We'll stand to sing after the musical introduction, please.
Darkness deepens.
gracious Lord and our Father in heaven, we thank you that we can know Jesus Christ abiding with us in life and in death. He is the one, Father, who offers himself freely to all that will simply repent of their sin and put their trust in him. Father, we thank you for each one that's saved this afternoon. We thank you, Father, especially for the testimony of Mrs. Ward. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you did abide with her in life and in death. Even whenever she went through the valley of the shadow, she was able to say, "Thou art with me." Oh, Father, we thank you that now she's with you eternally. Lord, I pray that that would be the case of each one here. Lord, this is no doubt the desire that Mrs. Ward would have, that everyone would know Christ as Savior, abiding with them in life and abiding with them in death, that he would indeed then abide with them for all eternity. Bless thy gospel truth to each heart and draw very near to the family. May they know Christ as their shepherd, each one. And Father, may they know Christ giving them the strength and meeting every one of them at the point of their needs day by day, being that refuge and strength in their very present health and trouble. We thank you that Christ lives for his sheep. In Jesus' name we give you thanks. Amen.